Hello out there to all my lit lovers and word warriors. I'm your host, K.E. Robinson, and you're kicking it with me in the author spot, the hottest spot for the reader in you. If you're an author looking to tell your story or a reader looking for the next great one to dive into, join us at theauthorspot.com for books, reviews, and other great tools.
Lit lovers and word warriors, welcome back to the author spot here for episode 38. And we are rejoined with the continuation of Computer Love by Sean Marie B. If you hadn't already, check out episode 37 as she lays down the law of online dating. And this time around, we're going for a little more of reflection as we continue on the journey.
And I tell you what, I mean, you might really get to know a person when you're forced to remove the physical, like you can't go out and touch somebody and do all these other things, whether warranted or not. At the time, you're going to really find out how much you like somebody when you can't touch them. Crazy as that sounds. So that probably was a good make or break point for a lot of people during the pandemic. Question that I have now for you is online dating. We want to be careful of the weirdos. We want to be careful of someone who's not who they say they are. Now, what do we look out for now once you've talked to someone for a while? They do resemble their pictures within the last year or two somewhat. And we actually are, you know, hitting it off and having a good time. Now, is there anything else to look out for beyond that?
I mean, beyond that is regular dating.
Yeah.
Once you've gotten offline, then you're dating. So I'm not a dating expert at all. I know some stuff about online dating. I'm not a dating expert. But to me, like the extension, you know, of the online dating part of getting offline and just really now we're actually dating. So make sure that person is giving that time to you, because things can start out one way online. But once you've, you know, met and you've given them some time and trying to see if I want to say this, but I will. You know, as women, sometimes we get attached and we get excited. Let me say excited. And we're like, oh, okay, well, I have this guy, you know, and he likes me and I like him. You're not together. Okay. Not until you have that conversation of we're exclusive or, you know, we're dating exclusively or we're together. That's the only time. And, you know, I mentioned this. I don't know if you got to this chapter, the situationship, but I do mention that in that chapter, I met a guy online. We were dating for a little bit and I was just like, all right, 2 months have passed. So we must be together. You know, we're spending this time together. He asked me, oh, what are those types of lotion and fragrances and, you know, what kind of soap do you like? He wanted to have all the toiletries at the house for me and stuff. I'm like, okay, we're dating, you know, we're together. Like, no, more so like we're boyfriend and girlfriend. And then one day I told him something like, oh, I want you to meet my sister or something. He's like, for what? And I'm like, we're together, right? He's like, no, I'm not ready for a relationship. Like, what have we been doing for the last 2 months? You know, like it was a wake up for me because I'm just starting to date again. So I wasn't really knowing how to navigate the whole dating thing overall. And so that was just like an in your face type of moment for me. Like, oh, that's how this goes. You know, like we have to have this conversation first. Then that's where the determination is made. So that's just like one, you know, little piece of advice from my own experience. I would say, like, don't get too excited of, okay, we're together. I actually recommend, and some people don't like me for this, is dating multiple people. So I 100% believe in that, you know, and you don't always have time for that, right? I know I definitely don't always have time to date multiple people, but it kind of keeps you balanced. You're not putting all of your energy into this one person. You know, unless you have a conversation of like, hey, I like you. I just want to feel this out, you know, see where this goes. Let's date each other exclusively. And if you're not willing to do that, then you have to tell that person, well, I think it's a little too early for that, you know, or something like that, which some people will get offended by that, but they have to make that determination if they want to continue to date you, because you don't want to be dishonest. That just makes things terrible. But so one time, I didn't even volunteer any information. I didn't say anything. My first phone call with this guy, he said, "Oh, well, let me tell you something." I was like, "Okay." And he said, "If you are one of those women who date 2, 3, 4 guys at a time, miss me." I was like, "What?" And so he said, "Yeah, because I'm not about to be in competition with 3 or 4 guys of who can spend the most money on you, who could take you to the best restaurant." I was like, "Okay, you have me messed up, because even if I am dating multiple people, it's not a competition," right? It kind of is, right? But I'm not trying to see who can, what I'm trying to see is who is the best fit for me, right? Because dating is kind of like shopping. You know, it's just like when you go to buy a house, you have an idea of what you want, you know, but then you go out and to open houses and you're like, "Oh, I didn't even think about this, you know, this thing that I was going to need in the house," or, "Wow, this one has 2 kitchens, you know, like that would be great because, you know, somebody's going to come. My mother-in-law is going to come and move upstairs. You know, she wouldn't really have to come down for much." So you learn about yourself as you date, you know, and you learn about what you need. You learn about what you need to sustain you in a relationship, and you get to know different personalities, and you're like, "I don't mesh well with that." Not to say they're a bad person, that's just not the best fit for me. But then if you get to a point where you do have 2 who are, you know, good fits and who are just, you know, like, "I can take either one." But then that one steps up and like, "Hey, you know what? I like you. You know, I see we might have something here. Let's do this." "Okay, well, the other one slept." "You slept on me, bro. So now I'm going with this guy." Because what that tells me is at least he's serious, or he's being intentional about, "Let's see where we can go with this." And not just, "I'm going to date you for the next 8 months. So I said I didn't have some dating advice, but I guess I did, right?
And sometimes it comes out unintentionally. That's fine. I mean, that's great. You know, I mean, and I tell people it's whatever you're into, right? Everybody knows. And we had somebody up here earlier, a few episodes back, that talked about do what's good for you. If that, like that guy said, "Oh, I'm not going to be in competition." Okay. You want to be the one man show? Mm-hmm. You be ready for that, sir. You, on the other hand, suggest, "Hey, dating multiple people," and there's good reasons behind it on either side of it. Now, knowing that you're suggesting that, okay, seriously, this is online dating, right? You've written that book, might have a little bit of a writer's itch. Do you have anything to follow, "Seriously, this is online dating" up, or do you plan on writing something else, maybe in a different realm?
You know what? Thank you for asking that. I don't have a follow-up to "Seriously, this is online dating." I think I said enough about online dating. And, you know, I haven't been doing much of it myself, so I don't have much more to say about it. Unless somebody gave me some, you know, some great ideas, or they had some questions, you know, lots of questions that I need to answer. But what I plan to write about, and I'm not 100% solid on the topic yet, but it's going to be about marriage and divorce. And that's going to be also from my own experience, but some other ladies' experience also. And I think that's, it's important because during divorce, right, or after, post-divorce, there is this period of time that I skipped over. And that was the period of reflection, right? And not just self-reflection, I skipped over that too, but the part of, you know, let me reflect on this relationship to see what went wrong here, you know, and so where are the parts that I need to take accountability for? What are some takeaways from this that I can learn to not bring into my next relationship, you know, or my next marriage? And not saying in a sense of I did something wrong, but more so in what can I learn from the experience? What can I learn from the experience to make it a better experience the next time? And I'll tell you this, some people may disagree with me on this one too, but being 40 plus years old, I actually prefer, it's not a hard preference, right? It's just it's not a deal breaker preference, but I actually prefer someone who has been married or been in a very long-term relationship and can say, this is what I learned from that. I met a guy who was married 3 times and he just jumped from marriage to marriage. No takeaways from it at all, right? No lessons learned because he did the same thing in the next marriage. And then when I was talking to him, it's like, oh, no, I'm never getting married again. And then, and I talk about him briefly in the book too. It's like, I'm never getting married again. But there's like a, I think he said a 5% chance that the next woman can convince me to get married. And I was like, okay, well, what would you do differently in that marriage? And he was like, I didn't do nothing wrong. I was like, yeah, no, sir. Now, first of all, that 5% chance, you can go on with that because I am not in a place to be trying to convince you to get married. That's either something you want or you don't want. Like when I was just silly, I would have taken that as a challenge. Like, oh, I'm gonna make him want to marry me. Child, I don't have time for that. You know, I do not have time for that. That is not a challenge to me. That would just be ridiculous, you know, to take on. You're already telling me this is going to be a difficult journey. So no, thank you. But I said that to say, like, not just someone who has been married, but someone who has been married and know what it takes to, well, understands that marriage is not perfect, right? Like, we're going to go through some things. They don't have to be horrible experiences, right? But now I'll say, like, some of the lessons that I've had, communication is just huge, right? So if I'm just expecting a certain response from somebody or I'm expecting them to do something a certain way, and we haven't even talked about it, and we haven't even talked about these expectations, this is just wild expectations, and I'm setting myself up for disappointment.
Can you please say that again? Can you please repeat that? I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you, but I want you to please reiterate that again, because I think that happens a lot. Now, I'm not just talking about female. I mean, men do it too, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is, as you said that, my eyes got wide because I said, wait a minute, this is a huge part of the problem. When you started saying communication, my ears went up. And then when you mentioned that part about the expectations, mm-hmm. Oh boy. If you don't mind, I know they could just play the tape back and just... But if you could please, Sean, say that again so that people understand the importance of the expectations sometimes that we have mm-hmm. that are not talked about, not discussed, not even written on a piece of paper. You could just.
Yeah. We set these expectations. We have these expectations of a person who doesn't even know we have this expectation. And really, we're just setting ourselves up for this disappointment. And then we blame that person for not meeting the expectation that they didn't know they had to meet. You know, so we blame them for it when it's not even their fault, you know. And so, and that's a lack of communication, right? And so that was a huge one for me. I was that person. I have this expectation of you. And why didn't you meet my expectation? Oh, because you didn't know. And if we would have discussed that, you would have told me my expectation was not realistic, you know, because you didn't have the capacity to carry out that expectation. And so we could have discussed other ways of doing that, you know, or what's realistic for the both of us to come to this agreement, you know, of what would be, or I would even say alignment of what's realistic for the both of us, for our marriage. So that was a really huge one for me that I'm definitely going to talk about in this next book. So the thing about me is some people say I can be just like way too transparent. And I believe like transparency puts it out there. And my whole purpose of writing is for somebody else. Writing is healing for the writer, but the message is good for the person who's receiving it who really needed to hear that. I was married for 15 years. I was with my ex-husband for 17 years. And so I feel like I have a lot to give, you know, on that topic, because I made a whole lot of mistakes in marriage, like a whole lot of them. And I just want to talk about them, you know, because I know it's going to help somebody else who, you know, is young getting into marriage. Maybe even somebody who's been married 20 years and like, oh, shoot. Yeah, you know what? That's true. I've been set this expectation that my husband, you know, or my wife knows nothing about. And I'm feeling like they're disappointing me every time. And they had no idea.
Absolutely. And I think expectations are easy road to disappointments, especially that they're just based on this is how my mind works. This is how I expect this to be. And we have to be honest with ourselves sometimes. Where do some of these expectations of the opposite sex come from sometimes? Our parents. Not saying they gave it to us, but saying that, well, I saw my mom do this. I saw my dad do this. But you also saw them do it in a different time period where they may or may not have applied.
And I had certain expectations of me that was based on what I saw my mom do in her marriage, which was not working for her. So why did I think it was going to work for me? But that was all that I knew. So I was just emulating what I saw. I mean, I was a 21-year-old wife, you know, and so had no idea what I was doing. Just no idea. You know, like you were saying, that's what I saw with her. Even though I saw that it was not working for her, at 21, I could see that, you know, but I didn't know any other way.
And sometimes that's what it is. Like, we just promote the example that we've been given, right? And whether successful or not, we just go with it because that's what we know. We have nothing else to compare it to. Mm-hmm. That's when it's time for us to start looking at other stuff and start talking to people who have it. I'm just saying, that's when we need to start talking to people who have had success in those areas and ask them what they did as opposed to just going only on our experiences. But Sean, so if you're going to work on that, do you have a title for that yet? Or that's still in the works as well?
Oh, I do not have a title.
Fair enough.
I will probably have the title when I'm finished writing that book.
That makes sense. That's fair enough. It'll probably come to you as you're writing it, you know, and that's fair as well. That's an interesting period you talk about, though, that period of reflection of, you know, in between, afterwards, before you're able to move on. If you could just, because the best development over time is self-development, you know, helps us open our eyes to us and knowing, you know, what we could do better before moving on to the next person, which is very important. I'm happy you brought that up. So,
well, also, can I interject real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. So also, that period is so important because, like I said, that was one that I skipped over, and I dated for, I think, 2 years before I did that cutoff and was just like, okay, nah, I just need to quit this. And, you know, I need this reflection now. What's going on with me? Skipping over that period of reflection caused me a lot of heartbreak in dating. Not heartbreak literally, right? But just like difficulty when dating and just my dating habits. So not having that period of reflection, I still kind of brought some of those same mistakes that I was making into dating from the marriage into those bad habits into dating. And so not having, if I would have had that period of reflection, I would have done things a lot differently, which is long after I did have that period of reflection, then it was just a whole different ball game for dating for me.
And absolutely. I mean, that period, right, you talk about 2 years afterwards. Well, what if you had done the reflection in between? And I'm not going to say you wasted 2 years, but there's probably 2 years you could have had spent a little differently had you been able to have that period of reflection. I mean, we're all getting older, right? I mean, 2 years are significant.
Yeah,
how we
that's
can
a long time.
Yeah. How we spend that time is significant. Like, you can argue, you can say what you want, but that means something. Like, that could be somebody's turning point in life, could be a matter of 2 years. It could be a matter of 2 months and how it's spent. So, no, I mean, absolutely. We all should have that. And that's not just marriages. That's even, as you mentioned, if you're getting out of a long relationship, you're getting out of a short relationship. might want to look and see what you could have done differently or what you were doing.
Or what didn't suit you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll even say, like, it was 2 years when I stepped back and did that reflection. And that was over probably like a year time frame. But that wasn't it. You know, I had to continue. Once I did the reflection, that was just the start. All right. So after the reflection, or, you know, during the reflection, I found these areas, you know, in my life to where I need to work on this. You know, like I had some unforgiveness of myself, you know, of some things that went on in the marriage. I didn't believe I deserved love, or actually good love. You know, like, yeah, I believe I deserved what I thought was love at the time. Right. But I had some unforgiveness of myself. So even after the reflection, now was the time for the work. So that's where my healing journey came in. Now, I continued to date during that healing journey, because to me, a healing journey is ongoing. So a person can't say, oh, you know, I'm going to just wait till I heal. You can be healing all your life, because you're going to go through experiences all your life. Right. And so there is a portion of that time to where it's like, okay, no, these are things I need to work on now. These things need immediate attention before I can bring somebody else into my life. Yeah, you do need that period of time. But after that, when you feel like you at a point to where you can go out into the dating world safely, emotionally safe, and just being able to have good boundaries and standards.
So, Sean, we know you have the book that you're working on that'll be titled later. Okay. So where could they find? Seriously, this is online dating. Or if they just want to contact you for any other works you might have, or if they want to get advice with online dating or anything like that, if they just want to reach out to you, where could they find your works and your other services?
Mm-hmm. So you can get the book on Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, and those are the best spots to get it right now. On social media, at Sean Marie B on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok. So you can watch some of those videos I make about online dating and some other topics also, because there is the healing journey in there. So I talk about boundaries a lot in self-love when it comes to dating. Also, I do answer DMs, not a whole lot of them, and depends on what you're asking me. I do answer DMs, though. So if you have one question, I will answer your one question. But I do have a coaching program that I do. I do coach beginners to online dating, and even just somebody who just really needs some help with it. And for that, you can schedule at my website at SeanMarieB.com. Or you can reach out to me and email info@SeanMarieB.
And look, don't think you could just get the game for free and just go on. So now, I'll tell you this. On her social media, she will occasionally post chapters. She will go on there and talk about certain areas of online dating. Okay, so she does do that. Go get the book. Okay, so you can have all of it. So you can laugh at some of the stuff I've laughed at. All right. No, you know, but she does do a pretty good job of going on the social media. She'll post a chapter, some statements from the chapters, and put everything out there. Another place where you'll be able to find the book, because she's a guest with us, and the book is available in Barnes and Nobles and places like that, is bookshop.org. You'll be able to find Seriously, This Is Online Dating at bookshop.org. So look at that as another spot to find it. Now, for these episodes, Sean, you've been pretty much dropping gems the entire time. So do you have anything left to give the people before we leave out of here today?
Yes. So we don't talk a lot about the subtitle of books, and the subtitle of Seriously, This Is Online Dating is How to Love Yourself Harder and Date Smarter. So if you're struggling in dating, period, and not just online dating, the key to it is usually to love yourself harder. So for that portion in my book, there's the healing journey. That's about four chapters. And in those chapters, in that journey, I discuss a lot about my personal healing journey, self-love, boundaries, self-discovery. One of my favorite chapters is identifying your wants, your needs, your negotiables. That's an extremely important thing in dating, period, is to know what you're looking for, you know, to know what you need to sustain you in a relationship. So that's all. That's the last thing I have.
And y'all, I didn't know if she had anything else, and she still pulled something out of somewhere. And hey, self-love is by far the most important. And you kind of set the example for how to love you when you're doing it right yourself. Sean, thank you for coming on with us once again for these episodes. They have been great and fun. I don't know if they're as much fun as the book, because I get to laugh at you more than you get to laugh at me reading it. But but once again, off the spot, please check Sean Marie B out. Coach B, if you want to call her that, for your dating services. And, you know, this has been another Hot Spot episode. Author Spot, Lit Lovers, Word Warriors. Wait to see who we put on the spot next time.
If you're an author looking to tell your story or a reader looking for the next great one to dive into, join us at theauthorspot.com for books, reviews, and other great tools.